It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The NBA Cup wraps up tonight, so Cavaliers basketball will start to be back in your life a little more frequently, and a starter could be on his way back into the lineup here very, very soon. All that and more coming your way on the Courtside with the Cavs on SI Podcast. We'll break it all down for you. Welcome back into Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI Podcast. It's Spencer German and Spencer Davies. Happy to be back in the saddle here. The Cavs had some time off. I guess I kind of took some time off. I really didn't take time off, though. I was very, very busy. I was working. I had to attend to car troubles. It was a lot going on last week. But Spence, I always enjoy seeing your face and getting a chance to talk about the Cavs, man. So I'm glad to be back.
That's adorable. I told Megs last week when you were out with the car troubles and you had everything going on with the holidays coming up. You had Brown stuff. You had Ohio State stuff. I was like, you know what? Let's just give him a little bit of a break. Maybe he needs a little mental reset.
Guys, three more weeks.
Schedule.
3 more weeks and then I can be more all in on the Cavs. So that's the good news, I guess.
3 more weeks couldn't go by any slower, I'm sure, for you too.
Yeah, really. No, I mean, we don't have to talk about that team. Let's talk about a team that's playing winning basketball and a lot more fun to sort of cover right now. But Spence, along the lines of me taking a week off, the Cavaliers have obviously had a long period of time off as well. They won I forget the exact amount of days, but obviously didn't play for a big span of time last week. Then they had the game on Friday. And then they went the weekend before they played their next game against Brooklyn last night on Monday. And now they don't play again until this coming Friday, ironically against the Milwaukee Bucks, who are playing this extra game now in the NBA Cup final that will be that will be on tonight. So a chance to kind of scout that team. But I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like, I don't want to say I forgot about basketball, but I do wonder if they have to rethink the schedule a little bit here, because it feels like it's an exuberant amount of time off for some of these teams that aren't involved in the actual tournament. And I don't know if that's good for like the bottom line of the NBA as a whole.
It's not. And people that I've talked to around the league, including within the Cavs building, just kind of mentioned how this is kind of taking guys out of their rhythm in a way. You think about 3 games in 14 days type of deal compared to 17 games in the first 28 days. And it's just inconsistent with the scheduling. And if you look at how it goes too, this is almost like a 2-part break. So you have the break with this NBA Cup, and then you have the All-Star break, which also gives teams an ample amount of time to rest. And while it's good, you have practice time that you don't usually have. There's still this kind of innate sense of, well, we had something good going. We kind of want to stay engaged in games, kind of how like you saw the Cavs play on Monday after they played a game, you know, 3 days prior, instead from before that having 4 or 5 days off in between, and you saw that they were rusty offensively, at least against Washington. So it does make a difference. You can look at it the other way, though. You get guys healthier, you have some returning bodies in the mix, and you also have ability to work on some things, like the Cavs were working on defensive coverages and pick and roll communication. So that part's good, but the actual like performances and getting guys, you know, having being used to with their bodies and trying to play this game, and you know, slow first quarter starts happened in both, you know, so like that kind of I feel like comes into play when you have too much rest almost.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, especially in a sport like basketball, we talk so much about rhythm and cadence and kind of just getting into your routine. And the Cavs got off to such a hot start that they certainly were like sort of in that zone or in that mode like almost instantly. But for a lot of these teams, it feels like the season just got going and you really just started kind of getting into the meat of some of these team schedules and you're getting excited about certain things. And then it just feels like there's this like elongated pause. I don't want to espouse fake news on this podcast, but I swear I saw somebody in the media here in Cleveland share that a WWE event had better ratings than an NBA Cup game did the other night. So again, I don't know if that's 100% true, but I think that all just kind of adds up to rethinking how this is all kind of set up, especially with the teams that aren't involved. Because again, I think you're missing. I understand what they're trying to do with the NBA Cup. I think it's good that they try to make the courts, you know, very unique, even though some of them are hideous. They clearly are making a point in like these games are different. This game means something different than just a standard regular season game. And I think that's all good. I like the idea as a whole, but that doesn't mean that it's perfect. I'm with you. Like it's tough, especially for a team like the Cavs that it got off to such a hot start. Like they probably just want to keep playing and continue to build on what they've done. And they've been learning from all these wins and learning from like all the momentum that they've built to this point. It stinks that they've kind of had to put that on pause. And it's also interesting, Spence, because the schedule coming up, we know they have that big West Coast trip here on the other side of Christmas. Like they have a stretch that's going to be a little bit tougher for them. And, you know, you'd like to be sort of in rhythm and in momentum as you go on that trip rather than sort of having sat back for a couple weeks and not played as many games.
And luckily they do have a 3-4 coming up, and that's probably something they would not have talked about even like a month and a half ago, but you have games coming, right? You have this homestand that I think will help just kind of get you back into the flow of things. You have Milwaukee, and then you have an ailing Sixers team on a back-to-back. And then that Monday you take on a Jazz team who has just had all sorts of inconsistencies and hasn't been able to play winning basketball. And then holiday in between, and then you take off and you go and start in Denver to ring in the new year. And then after the trip, you come in and back to your home court. So like, at least those games are going to start to come. The thing that bothers me the most about the NBA scheduling though, is there's all this time in between, and then you have a jam-packed January. There's a ton of games that come to you in January. And then, you know, February is a little lighter because of the All-Star break. And then March is a plethora of games. That's where I think the league needs to be better about. And I understand that there's, you know, events that happen. There are shows and, you know, pay-per-view of whatever happens inside of these arenas. But there has to be a better way to do this logistically, I think, than just give them basically 2 weeks off and, you know, have a game every other 4 days. That's just, I feel like, not advantageous to anybody. And it's almost like you're taking them out of their routine. And that, as we know, basketball players and sports in general are creatures of habit. So that, I think, can definitely be detrimental.
Don't they know that the Cavaliers are the most important thing that comes into any of these arenas right now? I mean, come on, they're the best team in basketball. So Spence, along the lines of the time off, you obviously were able to go to practice a lot last week and just kind of take things in. What were some of the things that you noticed about the urgency, what they were working on, and that maybe has you excited for this mini pause? Like what awaits this team after the sort of mini pause in the season?
I think the defensive attention is really something that they're focusing in on. As I mentioned in the open, they've been working on communication more, the pick and roll coverages, but also the switching and being there to cover for your man, cover for your teammate. Just the rotations have been terrific defensively. I think you can't say enough about what Caris LeVert's done for this team. But something that I wrote on our sheet is how much Isaac's been appreciated over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. He's getting it done defensively, as he always has. You know that this is a guy that are chase over screens, will stick to guys off the ball, deny it on certain matchups. He's been better about rebounding on both ends of the floor. He's been a markedly improved three-point shooter. But really, this is just a continuation of what we saw last regular season. I know that this is something that people want to see in the playoffs, but you can't fast forward 3 months. You have to wait. So while he's doing it right now, you're allowed to praise it. He's shooting, I think, 48-49%.
I think 49. I'm glad you brought up the three-point shooting, because he's also shooting four and a half of them per game, which is up from his career numbers. And I'm kind of curious, Spence, like, at what point do teams start to respect it more and, like, have to step out and guard him because he's knocking them down and it's such an alarming clip? You mentioned staying in rhythm. Like, he's the type of guy that absolutely probably hates this break because he's been playing so well. But if he can keep this up, like, yeah, those are the types of numbers that absolutely garner you respect around this league, where teams just can't leave him open anymore, and they're going to have to account for that.
And it's unfortunate, because it feels like when Isaac does get into a rhythm, something takes him out of it. Like, he had the ankle injury a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Now he's dealing with this shoulder thing that kind of occurred in Brooklyn last night when he ran into a hard screen, didn't play for the rest of the game. Doesn't look like it's anything serious. And Donovan even joked in the locker room afterwards that he would have played through it right next to him in the locker room, just as the Cavs always do. But Isaac's so important to this team. And when you talk about teams reacting to Isaac in the corner or on the outside, it's usually in the corner, but he has knocked down a couple from the wing. Then you're going to see just, we talk about it over and over again, these guys can all do pretty much the same things. If other teams are going to cheat towards him on the 3-point line, then you're going to see a lot more penetration off of closeouts. And then it's going to lead to second side actions. It's going to lead to passing and then swinging to the other guy in the corner. It's going to lead to passing and then drawing a foul after the initial pass. Like, there are so many sub actions inside of these. Kenny doesn't like to call them sets. He calls it more of like tendencies and traits and kind of playing random basketball because it's all read and react in modern day NBA. So that's what these guys are doing, and they're doing it at an incredible and an excellent rate at the moment. And I think you saw in the Nets game last night that everyone was clicking on all cylinders. Maybe not everyone made every shot, but there is a sharing of the ball. There were seven guys in double figures in Brooklyn. You just saw just this cohesion on both ends of the floor, and everyone's buying into it. So it's hard to single anybody out negatively.
Yeah, I do think, like, the continuation of this, and I think this is one of my biggest questions I had about this team, Spence, because they got off to such a great start, everything was clicking, and it almost felt like you were in this honeymoon phase, right, with Kenny Atkinson, where, oh, they got the new coach and everything's working, and you knew it wasn't going to work like this forever. But the fact that they've sort of maintained that same success, there's been some bumps in the road, the two losses to the Hawks in a row were sort of unexpected. I don't think we expect them to lose both those games. They had the first loss to the Celtics and they got them back. They lost to the Heat on the second night of a back-to-back. That team's still sort of one of the thorns in their side, even though they're not as good of a team this year. I'm impressed by the fact that this hasn't just like worn off even at this point in the season. I know it's still early, but their ability to still sort of keep the same pace, keep the same tempo, still play at a high level. I believe they are number one in offensive efficiency right now, and they're still like top 10 in defensive efficiency in defensive rating. Like, I should have said defensive and offensive ratings there, but yeah, like it's been, and those are teams like teams that have championship caliber teams are the ones that are doing both those things well, like that are top 10 in those two areas. So I think maybe what I'm trying to get at is, anybody who thought that maybe the hot start and what they were doing was a fluke, I think we have evidence now as we're getting towards the end of December. I guess we're only at the midway point of December, but you know what I mean. This was not a fluke. Like this is who this team can be. They can, when they're playing at their best, like this is what they can do. And so that is a scary proposition. I know there's a style of team like the Hawks are that are pretty long and lengthy that can give them some challenges. But like we're seeing this team do it so consistently, and it's been awesome just to see how new guys step up and different iterations of lineups try different things, or Kenny tries different things, and it all seems to work. It all seems to click. Everyone's buying in, And I don't see why that doesn't carry over into the new calendar year as well.
This is who they are. I was laughing the other day because one of my friends sent me a text. He's like, what's up with Ty? You know, it just seems like he hasn't been good. Well, maybe it's because he was shooting 70% from the field. and those averages have to kind of come back down to the mean a little bit. And he's still a top 10 efficiency player in the NBA, even with that quote-unquote slump. That's what's funny about the Cavs is that they were shooting so well out of the gate that all of these numbers are kind of just getting back to the mean a little bit. But their profile's been the same. They've been getting the same looks for the majority of this time. They're not sinking back into hero ball. I just think that they know who they are. They know their teammates can trust them, and that trust has led to just kind of a distribution of shots, the passing, the cutting. All of it has gone way up. And like I was saying, everyone can do it. That's what makes this team so difficult to defend, because whether it's a 7-foot Evan Mobley or a 6-foot-1 Darius Garland, all of them can play make, all of them can score, and most of them can shoot. And you weren't here for the podcast last week, but we were talking about Evan Mobley going 9 of 13 in a 2-game stretch from deep. Like that's another weapon that we don't even talk about them utilizing, because they have so many different ways to hurt you and to attack you. You know, like, you can go down the list. Like, Caris LeVert, we're not even talked about his efficiency this year and the way that his shot profile has changed. Somebody really smart reported a question last night in Brooklyn talking about how 6 of his first 150 shots have come in the mid-range. So that means 144 of those shots have either been in the restricted area or on the outside. That is not the Caris LeVert we are used to watching and used to seeing. He's touching the paint, he's creating for his teammates, and he's also shooting a hell of a clip on the outside. And Kenny Atkinson talked about how he failed Caris in Brooklyn by not getting him to change his shot profile and his tendencies. And he's clearly bought into that in Cleveland, and he's not falling to the curse of the good ball handler, as Kenny put it. So that's just one example of how just coaching and strategy can change a team with the same parts and pieces that they've had the last 2-3 years and just alter the strategy and alter the sets and maybe the mindset a little bit. That's just one example.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, we've raved about the depth on this team. It's awesome to see how that kind of coming to fruition. Let's get to the elephant in the room. It was the theme for the title of the show in this one. Max Strus sounded like there was a possibility he was going to play last Friday against Washington, and then that didn't actually happen, and he didn't play against Brooklyn on Monday night. Spence, first thing I'll ask you is, when do you, like, if you could look at the schedule right now, pull it up in front of you, what game are you expecting him back? I know we've both kind of talked about probably January would be the natural start time, but given that he was due back a little sooner than even we expected, it feels like it could come before that.
So here's the thing. I was told when the initial report from Grant Afseth of RG Media said that Max Strus was coming back last Friday against the Wizards, I was told right around then that the target was either that Friday or the Monday in Brooklyn. Mm. When it was revealed that Max was out for the game in Brooklyn yesterday, I followed up, asked if there was any setbacks. I heard no setbacks. I heard that it's just a little bit more ramp-up time with this unique gap in the schedule. They obviously have three days in between for him to get an extra week, kind of buying that if you're the team, because it's not like they're in desperate need of Max Strus right now. I think that they're just kind of taking it easy, taking it slow. And also, Max knows his own body better than anybody, and he doesn't want to come back unless he's 100%. So I think that is the logic behind it. And you can talk to your boo in the face about these guys not playing through injuries, but I think it's smart on their part and smart on his part to not make to make sure that you're at where you want to be when you get back, because it's going to be a ramp up process regardless. No matter what, when Max comes back, it's not like he's going to be playing a full on 30 to 35 minutes or whatever it may be for Kenny Atkinson's team. It's going to be a natural progression. It's probably going to be, if I had to guess, during that West Coast road trip where you're going to see him in with certain shifts and spurts with the team. I'll be interested to see how the rotation shakes out, because Kenny likes to play all of these guys. But I feel like this is a smart move for them, and no need to rush. You were playing, no disrespect to these teams, but you were playing the Wizards and the Nets. And I think that the organization kind of understood that, you know, maybe we don't got to rush them back into this.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably the silver lining to the long layoff that we sort of ripped a little bit at the beginning of the show. We don't like the schedule and how it's kind of panned out, but in this instance for Max Strus, it gives him a little bit more time. Totally makes sense that the organization would want to take advantage of that extra sort of break, especially given the opponents you were playing. I mean, they didn't need Max Strus last week to beat the Washington Wizards, who are literally the worst team in the NBA. They didn't really need him on Monday to beat the Nets. They blew the doors off of that team on Monday, and they're playing so well right now, like there's no need to rush him back. So I like the idea of them sort of using that extra time. So are you feeling then, you think West Coast trip is more so the target, or do you think he could play Friday against the Bucks?
I think he could play this weekend. If they don't have him suit up against the Bucks, then I could totally see him coming back Saturday. But, like, I'm not going to even try to figure it out anymore. Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, because after that,
You are not beholden to your sort of guesstimate of when he's going to be back. You obviously have a little bit of inside information, so I want to get a sense of like where your head was at with it.
Yeah,
but what you said makes sense.
I've seen him running up and down in practice. Yeah. We've seen him. He's gone through contact, so this isn't one of those situations where it's going to turn into Ty Jerome last year, or maybe if you look at the Dylan Windler situation in the past. I don't think it's one of those things, guys. I just think it's them being cautious and sure that he's all right to come back. And when he does come back, then they're going to, you know, the rich get richer.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost is like a trade deadline acquisition, right? Like you're inserting somebody who can be a starter on this team into the rotation. And I guess that is the bigger question here, Spence. I know we have talked more broadly about what Max Strus looks like when he's reinserted. I don't know that you and I have necessarily like talked shop on it more so specifically, where we've gotten into like the nitty gritty of where he fits, what his role will be starting out, how it will evolve into, I would imagine him being back in the starting lineup at some point this season, because they do envision him as a starter. They do see him in that role again as the starting three. But how do you sort of envision the ramp up going? Where does he fit right now when he does get back out there? And then how does he eventually get back into that starting lineup?
When we talked to Donovan and Kenny last week, I asked them about the Bam Adebayo Max Strus thing, and now that Evan's handling more, that Evan can kind of play that role with Max as a dribble handoff guy, but also somebody who can keep on the fake handoff. You know, them utilizing that two-man game, I think, is the first place I look.
And Spence, we saw some of that last year between, like, Evan and Max played some really good games together. Where, like, especially early in the season when Jared Allen was out, I remember, like, we talked about it specifically. I remember us having the conversation where we saw those two, like, two-man game. There was a lot of pick and roll with those two, but it was like they created some really magical stuff. So I'm excited to see how Kenny sort of envisions that going as well with those two.
You can use it in the inverted role now that Evan's somewhat of a shooting threat, that you can utilize that part of it and switch up who's handling and who's screening. You can use Max as one of your best pocket pass guys. you can position Max and relocate him in different areas. He can shoot from the corner. He's a movement shooter that you can utilize. Off-ball screening, we know that he's been solid defensively for this team since he came into the fold, especially with those guys behind him. He's been aggressive and on the ball, just kind of joining that fray and doing what Karis has been doing and Donovan's been doing, Isaac, Dean, all those guys that have been getting deflections and really getting into people's shirts. I think Max is going to fit in beautifully in that situation. And you can kind of use Sam Merrill as an example, I guess, of what you can expect to see from Max, except Max is just a bigger body and he's just a little bit taller. He's a little bit bulkier and he doesn't have quite as quick of a release as Sam does, but he's still a movement shooter. He's still going to attract attention and just kind of brings that, I think Kenny describes it as chaos in the half court when he slithers around and gets guys to chase him, which then will open up all sorts of possibilities for his teammates. And going back to what we continue to talk about, everyone on this Cavs team can dribble, pass, and most of them can shoot. So there's a lot that can come from Max's return, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like. He'll probably come back to some 15 to 20 minute restriction, I would assume. And just over time, that number will get a little higher, and then eventually it'll just be back into the fold permanently.
Yeah, listen, I'm fascinated to see Strus in this offense. There's been so much opportunity for guys to get space and just get their shots off. And we know Max can be streaky, but he can also like get going like that, right? Like he can. I know we like to throw back to the Eric Spoelstra quote where he called him ignitable. I just think that's such a perfect way to describe it. Like at any moment he can get going. And in this offense, with the opportunities that have already been there for some of these guys that we didn't need, like Ty Jerome sort of coming out of nowhere and blossoming the way he did early in the season. Like if Max Strus gets on a run like that, like the sky is the limit for this offense, man. We know even the nights where he isn't on shooting, he's impacting the game in different ways. I think Tom S. actually makes a good comment here. Max, the type of player that doesn't quit, played through pain last year. When he's ready, he'll be the Max. I like the little pun there. But yeah, like I think that's a good way to describe it, right? Like even on the nights he struggles from shooting the ball, he impacts the game in such a meaningful way. I talked about the defensive rating still being top 10 this year. Like I could see that improving with Max out there just because of how relentless he is on that end of the floor. It does feel like an almost like a trade deadline acquisition in a way where you're getting a guy back that can be an instantly impactful player for your team. And he gives you something out on the wing that you know, maybe a little bit more consistency than some of the guys that have. What I'm trying to get at is like, we know Dean Wade can be that player. We know he can knock down shots and be a really good defender, but we haven't seen him do it consistently enough. I think we've seen Max in this league do that more consistently to believe like once he gets into that starting role, he's going to thrive in it and just be like another weapon for this team.
Well, Max has done that kind of over his career, and he's had the trust to do that over his career. And also, I think with Dean, he's had some injuries.
I was going to say the injuries have prohibited Dean. I want to be clear. Like, I'm not trying to take a shot at Dean. It's just more so we haven't had a chance to see him do it consistently enough because largely injuries have kind of plagued him. And yeah, like the trust just hasn't been there, I think, from some of his previous coaches.
Yeah, and Max, I think also on the rebounding part of it is big time because those guys collectively kind of gang rebound, you know, when teams are trying to target Jarrett and Evan and get them out of the paint to make sure that they don't get those boards. And a lot of the time also long rebounds when the Cavs contest outside shots and there's missed three pointers. A lot of them are going to be rebounds that you have to chase down. I think Max is really good at doing that too. I also want to kind of touch on what Don and Kenny said in practice last week about Max being kind of a coach off the floor and how he has a standard that he's helping hold the team to and how he's saying, oh, you know, it's only this date. It's only this date. It's good that we're doing this, but it doesn't really matter until we need to continue to build these habits. He's doing the kind of so what, you know, and that's where Donovan gets it, and that's where that attitude trickles down into the locker room. You wouldn't know by the videos that I post and the videos that you see on the road when they're clowning each other, but they take this very seriously. They're holding themselves to a high standard. George said it in his post-game interview with Serena last night. You know, it's nice to get the wins, but we're playing for something bigger. And that's what these guys have their sole focus on, and it's a good thing to hear if you're a fan.
No doubt about it. And we're all, I think, excited and anticipating seeing what Max Drews being added to the lineup looks like for this team. And I'm sure we'll see some fireworks early on with that group. So we'll see what it all when it all comes together. Spence, we know they have the 3-4 coming up, and then they have this West Coast swing to sort of start the new year and the end 2024 and kick off the new year in 2025. How much of a test do you think this upcoming stretch will be for this team? Because we kind of talk about these benchmarks along the way. We knew the Celtics game was going to be that. We knew there was going to be some other stretches. All the back-to-backs that they played early on, I think, were sort of viewed that way. But we know West Coast trips can be tough. You're traveling. You're constantly on the road for multiple weeks at a time, largely. You're just kind of going city to city, playing these different teams. And there's some tough teams on the schedule. I know, like, the Warriors have sort of fallen off a little bit here, but, like, we know the Nuggets are still a really good team. The Lakers, we'll see if LeBron's back at that point. Maybe not, but, you know, that's a team that's a force we reckon with. We know the Mavs are obviously a very good team, but the defending Western Conference champions. So how much of a test are you sort of anticipating this next chunk of the schedule where you have 3-4 at home and then you go on the road and you got this tough West Coast trip? How much do you think the Cavs are going to get tested on that trip?
I think they're going to get tested a lot. It's a mental battle. It's definitely a physical battle with a lot of these teams. And let's be frank, the Western Conference is leaps and bounds ahead of the East at the moment. Yeah. So they're just tougher teams. They're frankly better teams. A lot of them just are inconsistent. Like the Nuggets, we know that they're always going to be a championship contender with that Nikola Jokic in the middle and with, you know, Jamal Murray playing the two-man game. They've gotten a lot different. They're more of a paint team now. They get to the line a ton. They have cutters around them. You know, Christian Brown's come into his own. They have Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. You know that Aaron Gordon's going to give it his all every night. Michael Porter Jr. is always a threat. They are just a little bit, you know, reliant on their starting five, and that's where you can get them is with your depth. The Warriors, I don't even know where to start with them, but we do know that Dennis Schroeder was acquired by them a couple of days ago, so that's going to bring a new dynamic. He'll, you know, just be getting started with that team, but it's never easy to play in the Bay. You know that. So I don't think we even have to go into a game preview for that. I'm sure that we'll get into that on a podcast. Lakers, I mean, LeBron just came back from his rest. I don't know how else to describe it, his rest or his personal reasons being out. But they just took it to the Memphis Grizzlies the other day and did a heck of a job defending. And you can never take that team lightly. And luckily, I don't think there's any LA nightlife stuff going on there because it's the Warriors and then it's them on the back-to-back. So can't really, you know, stay in LA too long on that night before the game day. So that'll help out. But yeah, I mean, Mavericks come back. They're playing as good as anybody right now. They did lose in the NBA Cup to the Thunder and didn't make it. But they have so many different ball handling options, and the way that they're rebounding, the way that they're moving the basketball, you know, Luka and Kyrie are basically, they've got two guys that are one of one on that team in terms of danger in scoring. And then, you know, you look at the bigs with Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. I think Quentin Grimes has given them some good minutes. So that is not an easy trip. So that's how you wrap it up. And then you come home and you play the Hornets when they come back. And you know, they have LaMelo back now. So it's definitely not easy the way to open up the new year and close the old year. But that's what this league is about. The games keep coming. And this is the first time they're going out on the West Coast for an elongated period of time. And I think the Cavs will be better from it. They're not going to go undefeated, I don't think. It's probably going to be hard to do. But as long as you've got the right habits and you're not mailing it in, which we've had no sign of them ever doing, then it's going to be beneficial.
Yeah, and we talk about proving that the streak at the start of the season wasn't a fluke. If they're able to start the year off hot on the with that West Coast trip and win some of those games, you know, I think it will catch people's attention where they'll have to start realizing going into 2025 and you get deeper into the season, it's that back half of the schedule. It's when people, quote unquote, really start paying attention to the NBA. they'll start to understand how good this team really is. I'll throw this up real quick. Beast Grills, they had to be better this time on the West Coast. I got flashbacks to last year when they went 1-4 under JB Bickerstaff. Yeah, well, they did not fare well on the West Coast last year. I don't remember what their record was before that, but I just feel like every time they did those West Coast trips more recently, they didn't really fare well. So we'll see if Kenny Atkinson has them up to the
task. It's a monster.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, but that's why I asked about it, because I do think like that is the next sort of phase of the schedule that presents a bit of a test for this team as they continue to prove to everybody like they are a force to be reckoned with and a true championship contender. So, Spence, any final thoughts before we get out of here? We got a couple days off here before we get the Cavs back home against the Bucks. Everybody be scouting tonight. Watch the NBA Cup game so you can get a sense of what the Bucks kind of bring to the table. They're playing a lot better basketball than they were earlier in the season when the Cavs beat them on the road. But any final thoughts from you, Spence?
Well, I mean, I think that we can at least look at the Bucks this Friday talking about how they've gotten a whole nother element with Chris Middleton back in the fold. That is a big part of what they do, and his playmaking and the threat of him shooting and also his ability to put it on the floor just adds to what Giannis and Damian Lillard have going. I also think that we have to give a ton of love to AJ Green, who's been shooting the lights out this year. Make sure that you keep a body on that guy because he will put them up. And also, former Cav Taurean Prince at the top of the league right now, shooting, I think, 51% from deep. So they have shooters. Do they defend? The Cavs, can you beat them in transition? Not the same team that you saw earlier this season. But other than that, I think any questions that we missed in the chat, we can address. Otherwise, I do not.
I don't think Tom S. asked if Max on LeVert's contract is up this year. LeVert's is Max's. Max still has 2 years.
Correct. Yes. So Karras is the only expiring this year.
Including this year. Somebody else, I think, asked about the Okoro injury for the third time. No, I'm not trying to make fun of that person. I was just being funny.
You're so mean.
Ben Yoder, he said, just joined. Sorry if this was already asked. Do we have any updates on the Okoro shoulder injury? Not that serious was the update from Spence. So it shouldn't be too big of a deal. I think that's that was the gist of the questions.
I think the podcast listeners will know now if Isaac is okay or not.
We also encourage you to go back and find this podcast wherever you get your podcast and give it a listen. And then you can hear us answer that question three times. Tom S. also asked something that I don't know, Spence, maybe this is a future podcast topic. We don't have time to divulge it today, but can a no true 3-and-D team win a championship? I don't know, Spence. We will have to address that at another time. That right there.
Is that your hook?
Tease. That is what we call a tease in the business, Spence.
Oh, my God. Okay. I will say this before we get out of here. Please, if you have any input on my take on the modern NBA, you can go to my Twitter. I know that you want to keep it light, keep it fun, Spence, but I did get in a little bit of a tizzy.
I didn't see this
on Twitter.
I did not see this.
Because, you know, everyone brings up the ratings talk and it goads me into this conversation every year. And I'm like, we've literally been doing this for 5 years. Can we please stop talking about it? And then I went on a rant. And for the people that actually want to have a discussion, I am open to it. For the people that insult my intelligence and insult my knowledge of the game, I will not be having it. So if you want to get up for debate, fine. I'm
so
all
what you're
for
trying
it
to say is the NBA is slowly dying.
If only you guys could see my face for those listening on audio platform.
I'm kidding.
It's an emoji. It's that emoji where you just see the eyes that are just straight. That was the highlight of my Sunday, was just arguing with people on Twitter about that stuff. And
you mean
also agreeing
LeBron's
with
game?
Some agreeing with some people, it was better than watching the Browns game, Spence.
I had to slip that in.
It was better Crazy. Than watching the Browns game. Although I had it on the television, I will say that. But Red Zone was on the middle. But so make sure to go check out that argument and discussion on Twitter. And if you have anything to add to it, please let me know. Because if you have actual examples of stuff that you're putting towards this discussion, then I am more than willing to listen. But I will not put up with just random hot takes repeated from what you see on television.
Except at some point we're going to get Spence to say that the Cavs had a signature win. That's
no signature win yet.
We're going to get him to give that hot take at some point.
It hasn't happened.
Spence stays away from the hot takes, but at some point we'll get him to drop at least.
You haven't seen your frog around in a while either. You haven't been in the building. You haven't seen.
I haven't been there, so that's on me. But hopefully Friday it'll happen.
I'm just glad we got us together again, man. It feels like it's been a month. For how long
it has been a while. I apologize. You know,
you don't have to apologize. You just have to fix your, wait, what was it? Your spark plug?
My priority. Oh, I thought you were going to say my priorities, but no, my car is running, knock on wood for now. We'll see. But hey, if you continue to listen to this podcast and find it, follow it, subscribe to it, wherever you get your podcast, that will help me pay for a new car because I need as much money as I can get. So please help poor little Spencer buy a new car and follow this podcast, listen to it, like it, subscribe to it, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all the other platforms, the YouTube channel for Cavaliers on SI, where Spence also does a tremendous job uploading all the post-game press conferences.
Only from home. If they want him to get me to send on the road, then please subscribe to the page because we don't have the budget to go on the
road. Yeah, that too. You can cover our road budget and you can and the budget to go on the road because I'll have a new car that we can drive. Both those things fundable by listening to this podcast. Thank you guys so much for stopping by. As always, we'll be back with another episode next week. And of course, with more content like this, including Friday with a post-game recap and report from whatever happens between the Cavaliers and the Bucks. Stay tuned, guys. Appreciate you as always. And we'll talk again soon.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need. And you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.